Samuel chapter 1, and I will be reading verses 10 through 15. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 through 15. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all of the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. You may be seated.
If you are visiting with us tonight, we are so glad that you're here and hope that you're having a good time visiting with family and that you're enjoying the holiday. We certainly have had a good time with all ours, and we're glad that they're here today. Brother James A. Harding was a 19th century restoration preacher who died in 1922. He conducted over 300 gospel meetings in his lifetime, was a part of over 50 debates. He also helped David Lipscomb start Nashville Bible School, and then later on became the founder of Potter School, which turned into Potter's Children's Home in Kentucky. Brother Harding increased his giving 11 different times in his life, and by the end of his preaching was giving 60% of all that he made to the Lord. He also served as the editor of Gospel Advocate. But as noteworthy as all these accomplishments were, perhaps the greatest thing about him came out at his death, when he died on a Sunday afternoon in Atlanta, Georgia, at his son-in-law's house. The funeral home director came to remove his body, and as they removed it, they noticed that on his knees were great big calluses that had been formed from his many hours of prayer while on his knees. Because of what Christ has done for you and for me, we have the privilege of interceding to our Heavenly Father through the name of Jesus. And the Bible talks about that great throne room of God and Jesus who gives us access. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, he says, Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who is in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Christ gives us that access. And the Bible tells us that because of that, we can have comfort in knowing that in times of trouble, we can go to God through Christ and know that He will hear and answer us. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul would say, be anxious for nothing. Literally, that word means don't worry about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This morning I counted 6 different prayers that arose from these lecterns this morning. And already tonight we've had 3 different prayers. And Mac, we appreciate those beautiful words that you prayed on behalf of Megan and others. But what is prayer? It's something that often spends a great deal of our time, and rightly so. It's a privilege that we have. But what is the definition for prayer? Well, Cody read to us God's definition of prayer there in 1 Samuel chapter 1. You may recall that in that reading, Hannah was pouring out her heart to God. The Bible says that in troubleness of soul, she couldn't have a child and so much desire to have a child. She prayed to God, verse 10 tells us in 1 Samuel 1. And her lips are moving, but no words are coming out. And so Eli, there at the gate of the temple or palace, sees her lips moving, but thinks she's drunk because no sound is coming forth. And he even accuses her of that. But if you look at verse 15, she says, "No, my Lord, there's no alcohol within my system. There's nothing there whatsoever. But in anguish of spirit, I have poured out my soul unto the Lord." Now, verse 10 says she was praying. Verse 15 defines that prayer, pouring out her soul unto God. It's interesting that in the scriptures we find that our Lord was about prayer as well. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, we read, "Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" Have you ever thought about what it must have sounded like? What it must have looked like for Jesus, the Son of God, to be in public prayer? Here he was praying. The disciples wanted to know, "Lord, teach us to pray." Tonight, if we study the prayer life of Jesus, the manner and style in which he prayed, I believe that we can learn some things about our own prayer life and about what we can do to be more like our Lord. Thus, when Jesus prayed, first of all, he prayed in different positions. Take the time to study the prayers of Jesus, but also take the time to look at the manner in which he prayed. In Luke chapter 17, verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you." Our Lord would lift up his eyes toward heaven in prayer to his Heavenly Father. But the Bible also tells us that Jesus was sometimes upon the ground in praying. Some of you perhaps have seen times in which it used to be the case that when a person came to the pulpit or to the lectern to pray, that they would literally be upon their knees as they prayed to God. I'm curious, how many of you have seen someone publicly pray in a worship service on their knees? A lot of the older people. I saw it happen one time. My brother and I were filling in for a preacher in a country church outside of Jasper, Alabama. And they called on this person to lead prayer. And so he came to the pulpit to pray. But then all of a sudden his voice was muffled, and I wondered why I wasn't hearing him as well. And so after the amen, I looked, and he was getting off of his knees behind the pulpit in prayer to God. Notice that our Lord sometimes saw that need as well. In Mark chapter 14, verse 35, "And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him." But not only that, our Lord saw the need to go further. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" And then there's the statement in Luke's account when the doctor, through the mind of God, Luke, says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed." Luke 22, verse 41. Our Lord saw the need to be on the ground, to be on his knees, and then finally, to be on his face. Why? Because he saw the need to do this at that time. He was praying for you and he was praying for me. I'm not suggesting that in public prayer that we begin to kneel behind a pulpit. But sometimes in our prayer closets, sometimes when life and its problems come upon us in so many ways, there's sometimes value in lowering ourselves as low as we can go and allowing God to help us with the struggles that come our way. In this account in Luke chapter 22, the Bible said that he was praying with such fervor that sweat like blood fell down to the ground, a process known as hematidrosis. Our Lord had the emotions because he was praying for, in the Garden of Gethsemane, my soul and your soul, and the pain and the agony of the cross itself. And so he saw the need to do this. In 2008, Brother Wendell Winkler, a great gospel preacher, passed away. But several months before that time, he spoke on the subject of the value of prayer in the life of Jesus at Polishing the Pulpit. And in that last lesson that I heard him speak, he mentioned that because of his physical condition, he could no longer get upon his knees as he prayed personally to his Heavenly Father, and that really bothered him. He made a statement that I've never forgotten. Prayer changes things, but most importantly, prayer changes me. There's something to be said for the idea of trying to lower ourselves in humility and asking our Father to intercede on our behalf because of the trials and troubles that are ours. Brother Gus Nichols of Jasper fame had 8 children. And on one occasion, one of his children got very, very sick. As the story goes, he went out into the rows of the garden where he often memorized scripture, going up and down the rows, planting things. But he got out in the rows of the garden, got between 2 rows, lowered his body upon the ground, and then on his face prayed on behalf of that child for the hope that it would get better. He would make the statement, I needed God so much that I got down as low as I could and poured out my heart to him. Several years ago from this pulpit, we had someone to come and hold a gospel meeting for us. And on one occasion, he and I were talking, and he was telling me that for his local congregation, people that he worked with year in and year out, sometimes during the week, he would come into the auditorium such as this and kneel down beside a pew where some of the brethren would be sitting and pray for the people in that pew. Perhaps in some cases it was because someone needed to change their way of life. In other cases, it may have been some of the troubles that they were having. But this was something that personally, without fanfare, he would do. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to find a minister that would be willing to pray for you and for me in that manner? When Jesus prayed, he prayed in different positions. Go back and read 1 Kings chapter 8, where Solomon begins that great prayer as the temple has finally been started and finished. He begins standing, the Bible tells us, with his arms lifted. But toward the end of that long chapter, you see that he gets up off of his knees while on his knees he still had his hands lifted up. He began standing. He ended kneeling in prayer to God. Secondly, when Jesus prayed, he prayed in a way that we cannot pray. You see, for us, we need a mediator. We need someone that we can pray through. That is Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. But Christ didn't need a mediator. He could pray straight to the Father because he didn't have to have someone to mediate on his behalf. In John 11, verses 41 and 42, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus had a relationship with God that we cannot have. Jesus never once sinned. He never once did anything that his Father would disapprove of. He would make the statement in John 8, verse 29, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." As good a child as any of us have been, we can never make that statement that we didn't do something sometime that our parents would not be pleased with. But Jesus could, because of the way and the relationship he had with the Father. In John 8, verse 46, he asked the question, "Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" You see, we're talking about the prayer closet, if you will, of Jesus. The manner in which he prayed. What type of being was he? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26 says, "For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, separate from sinners, undefiled, and made higher than the heavens." Try as though we may be, we cannot enter into that type of relationship with God the Father. But as we look at the prayer life of our Lord, we see the way in which he prayed. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he prayed." Our Lord had such a relationship that he prayed in a way that you and I cannot pray. But he prayed for you, and he prayed for me. The emotions of our Lord is seen in the question that he makes in John 11, verses 27 and 28. "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Thirdly, when Jesus prayed, he prayed with thanksgiving. He prayed with thanksgiving. John 11, again, verse 41. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." We've already mentioned that Philippians 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication," petitions, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Have you ever stopped and rendered a prayer, pouring out your soul to God, and the entire time in that prayer, all you did was thank God and tell him how much you love him? Not once did you ever ask him for anything, but you just wanted to be thankful to God. We love to hear those things from our children and grandchildren, them being appreciative for what we try to do for them. A father was reading his paper, and as he was trying to read the paper, the little girl, his daughter, kept on saying, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." And finally he said, "What? What do you want?" And she said, "I don't want anything. I just wanted to tell you how much I love you." God wants us to know how much we love him. And so it's very important that in our prayers, asking for things is certainly appreciated and needed, but at the same time that we show our thanksgiving to God. When I preached at North Carolina, there were many wonderful men, spiritual giants, that would lead prayer in public places. Brother Tommy Lee Wright would over and over and over again in his prayers use the phrase, "I thank you." Some of you know Brother Donnie Smith, who died too soon of cancer. But I remember in the throes of that cancer, him leading a public prayer in which 13 times he used the phrase, "We thank you." Our Lord, in his prayer life, prayed with thanksgiving. Next, when Jesus prayed, he knew that his Father would hear his prayers. John 11, 41 and 42. "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you hear me always." Now, when we think about hearing prayers, what do we actually mean in regards to God the Father hearing our prayers? Since he's infinite, he certainly has the ability to hear everything that we say. He can hear us pray, but he can also, if we are to curse or we're to blaspheme or we're to lie, he's going to hear that as well. But then secondly, there is the idea of hearing in reference to listening attentively. That is with favor. Do you know that there's some, according to God's word, that God will not hear because of the way of life in which they live? Over in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, he says, "When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil." Solomon would say in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, "Then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." Again from Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9, "He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." There are some people that God is not hearing in regards to accepting their prayers because of the way of life that they live. Yet at the same time, there is the promise that God hears the prayers of the righteous. 1 Peter 3, verse 12. "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." According to God's word, he also hears those who are seeking his way, who are seeking his word, even though they are not New Testament Christians. There in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, we read about Cornelius, a man that was a Roman soldier. He had 100 men under him, and yet he also lived a good life. He had an entire household of people, but he treated them in a proper way. He was a devout man. The Bible says that for those who were poor, he gave a lot of alms, a lot of gifts to help take care of their needs. And then it says, he prayed to God always. God sends an angel at 3 o'clock one afternoon as he's praying and says, "Your prayers have been lifted up to God as a memorial." Now, that wasn't good enough. As good of man as he was, taking care of his own, treating people with respect, helping those who are poor, praying to God always, he was still a sinner. He needed to send to Peter and find Peter so that Peter could tell him the words that he needed to hear to become a child of God. But that also suggests to us that God does hear the prayers of those who are seeking his will, who want to be followers of his and just need to be able to find out how to do so. When Jesus prayed, he knew that he was heard of his Father. Tonight, when we pray to God, do we trust and believe that God hears us and answers us based upon how we are presently living? But next, when Jesus prayed, he prayed specifically. He prayed specifically. John 11, verse 43. He had been with Mary and Martha. They had sent for him to see after their brother Lazarus that Jesus loved. He already had died. In fact, he had been dead for 4 days, the Bible tells us. His body was already beginning to decay. But he prays that prayer to God. And then after he does so, in verse 43, he says with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." The late Brother Marshall Keeble had said, if Jesus had simply said, "Come forth," the entire cemetery would have risen up. But specifically, he asked for Lazarus, dead for 4 days, to rise forth from the dead, and he did. Our prayers need to be specific. Over in 2 Kings chapter 19, there's the time when Israel was being besieged by the Assyrian army. Sennacherib has sent a letter basically telling the people of Israel, "We've taken in all the other countries. Your God is not going to be able to save you. You don't need to listen to King Hezekiah, your king. You just need to fold up and allow us to take you." The Bible tells us that King Hezekiah went into the temple of the Lord. He took that letter and spread it out so that it could be seen. And then he prayed, "Lord, incline your ear and hear. Open, Lord, your eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God." Our prayers need to be specific. Sometimes we may pray for those the world over, but sometimes we need to pray for specific things. We need to pray, and I think we do an excellent job. I see men often with lists as they stand here praying for people by name. How wonderful that is to hear, for their family's sake, that people are thinking about their loved ones. But even more importantly, that God is hopefully helping those people that by name we are praying for. We need to pray for our elders. And again, we've talked about that already. They've put in untold hours in prayer that the right person will come to minister to this congregation and to their lives as well. A lot of background checks, a lot of work going into for the Johnson family. And we need to pray for them as well. When Jesus prayed, he prayed specifically. But then finally, when Jesus prayed, he prayed persistently. In Matthew chapter 26, the Bible tells us that our Lord was praying in that Garden of Gethsemane. And listen to what he says in verse 39, Matthew 26. "He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" Verse 42, "Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done.'" Verse 44, "So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words." Is there a prayer that you find yourself praying over and over and over again? That's what our Lord did on this occasion. Praying for you and for me. Praying that God's will would be done through his sacrifice for our sins. But he prayed persistently. Ask any parent that has a troubled child, what is it that you pray for? Who is it that you pray for? And they will tell you only one thing. I pray for that child every day, that they will come to the good, that their illness will be healed, or that they will spiritually come back to the ways of God. And they pray that over and over and over again. Our Lord prayed persistently. We are no better than him in regards to that same need. Does it work? Certainly to have God's blessings on a situation helps in so many different ways. And God has a way sometimes of working in ways that we cannot to help make a difference in the lives of people. God's blessings are so great. And he can help us in so many different ways. And the persistency of our prayers can aid in that person being either healed physically or being healed spiritually, or in some cases, both. In preparing for this lesson, I thought about a Christian lady in the Green Hill area who in the early years of her father's life was a faithful child of God, but for whatever reason, he fell away from Christ. For 30 years, her father never darkened the doors of the Lord's church. For 30 years, this wonderful Christian lady prayed daily for her father to spiritually find his way back home. In the latter years of his life, so many had visited him. So many had prayed for him. So many had done all that they could for him. His wife was a faithful child of God. The family were faithful members. He was the only one. But he came back home spiritually and was faithful to the day in which he died. Certainly the power of God is seen in that, but also the persistency of that Christian daughter who did not give up on her daddy. What does God think whenever we pray the same prayer over and over and over again? The Bible answers that question in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Jesus is there is telling a parable that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. That is, don't give up. And then he tells about a no-count judge. A judge that didn't respect God, didn't regard mankind, but he had a widow that just kept on coming to him. A widow that kept on saying, get justice for me because of my enemy who's causing problems in my life. And as the story goes, he said, I don't respect God, I don't regard man, but I'm tired of this woman coming, and so I'm going to give her what she wants. And then he says, I believe verse 8, and will not God avenge those who call to him day and night? Yes, God hears our prayers. God is patient with us. God wants us to continue to pray for those things that are needed in our lives. And he is more than willing to try to help in those situations. A little girl had a brother that was very sick, and so she decided to write out her prayer to God. She was gone for a little while, and after a while, the mother said, Where have you been? She said, I went up into the attic. What were you doing in the attic? She said, well, Mommy, I thought that if I could get my prayer as high as I could go, then God could take it from there. Children can often teach us a great deal about prayers. And tonight, how high are our prayers going to God Himself? Tonight we've talked about Jesus and how He prayed. He prayed in different positions. He prayed in a way that we cannot pray, but He prayed with thanksgiving. He prayed because He knew that God would hear His prayers. He prayed specifically and he prayed persistently. We can learn a great deal from the life of our Lord. Tonight, it may be that you can act upon the prayers of many in this audience that have been praying for you. If your life is not as it ought to be, please rest assured that there are people praying for you. People in this audience, family members, others that are praying for your life, praying that you'll become a child of God by believing in Jesus, turning from your sins, confessing the sweet name of Jesus as God's Son, and then being baptized. Or coming back home as an erring child of God, or perhaps there are just struggles in your life. Please know that people are praying for you. And so perhaps tonight you just need to act upon the prayers that have been prayed so many times on your behalf. A loving Savior that died for you, that teaches us a great deal about prayer, invites you to come to Him tonight, right now, as we stand and sing this song.